There we go. A couple of announcements this morning as we begin. You'll notice that on the back of your bulletin, there are some invitations to you to participate in Bible studies that will be beginning very soon. There's a women's study that will be on Sunday evenings. And then Brother Nick is offering a new Bible study invitation to Romans that will begin soon. And so if you'd like to be part of either of those studies, there are sign-up sheets in the Robert Moore classroom where we enjoy coffee every week, the back of the Wilson Activity Center, or you can even make a note as you sign in on the friendship pad this morning that you'd like to participate. So any of those ways will save you a seat at the Bible study table. And I think that those are all the announcements that we have today. So if you would please stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Please stand for the call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. Christ has put the door of eternity ajar. The light of life streams into every dismal corner. Fear and shame flee like shadows before the dawn. Arise, shine, our light has come. Lift up your eyes and look around. The Lord will be our everlasting light. And please remain standing for the hymn of praise, We Three Kings, which is on page 245, or 254.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our children's moment. So if we could have all the children come forward, and the congregation is welcome to sing the refrain from We Three Kings printed in your bulletin.
Wonderful to have all these kids up here. First Sunday of the year. That's wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to show you a new word. Maybe new to some of you. Have you ever seen this word before? Do you know what it is? Anybody say can say that? Can you say that word? Anybody out there can say it? Epiphany. That's a hard word, isn't it? Epiphany. Well, today we call this Sunday Epiphany Sunday. And you may not know what it means, but I'll try to explain a little bit. It is also called the 12th night. It happens 12 days after Christmas. And if you'll turn around behind you, you will see on the altar Jesus, baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and there are three men behind them. And they are kings that have come to see the baby. And they believe that he will be the light of the world. So that's why we have all these beautiful candles, and you lit them so well. Yes. Well, on the Christian calendar, we believe that the first Sunday after the first day of the year, we celebrate Epiphany. Now, actually, tomorrow is the day of Epiphany because it's 12 days after Christmas. You know, sometimes we think about, it's a kind of a gloomy day. We don't want to get up. We're kind of grumpy. There's no light. It's storming. Luckily today, that's not true. But sometimes when we don't have light, we really feel down, don't we? Here are some things that really need light, too. Can you tell me what they are? What is happening here? What is this?
Looks like an onion.
Well, it's actually, can you tell what it is? Anybody know? It's going to be a flower, right. And look, it's even started to sprout a little bit. Has a little green in it. Yeah. It needs light, just like we do. We need the light of Jesus to grow, don't we? So I want you to remember when you feel down that there's someone who's going to be the light of your life, and that is Jesus. Will you pray with me? And would you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for this Epiphany time. And for your son, Jesus, who brings love and light into the world. Amen.
Shepherds kept their watching, for silent flocks by
Thank you. Thank you very much. And as we come to this time of prayer, I want to just say a couple of things. We lost a dear friend and companion on our journey this week. Margaret Mattson passed away Saturday morning. And we want to remember Buddy and their family in our prayers. And also, as life has it, we also are holding in prayer Emmy and Gail and Tiffany, because any second on Gail's phone could ring. And so if he runs out of here, we're fortunate that Diana can just take over the keyboard. So on Gail, we are praying for you and Emmy. We're waiting for that baby to arrive. So let us pray. Loving God, as we come to you today on this first Sunday of a new year, we pray for 2020 vision, clear-headedness, clear sight, and above all else, the ability to see where you are leading and the courage to follow wherever you go. We do pray this day for our congregation, for Buddy, and for others who mourn the loss of Margaret. And we pray that for all of us who walk the way of life and know both the pain of loss as well as the joy of new birth, that you would be with us. And that we would be for each other your hands and your feet and your words of comfort and places of solace. We pray today for the church, for our beloved United Methodist Church, knowing that there is so much ahead of us as we face into this new year. While we do not know how it will end, we do know that here at Asbury, we love one another and we love you. And that you have set us here on this hill to be a beacon and a light and a source of life and love to all those around us. So fill our tender hearts with bravery and with hope as we walk into the unknown future together with each other and with you. And Lord, we pray for Asbury. We continue to seek your vision. Indeed, we do want to see you clearly. We continue to seek your guidance, and we continue to seek your love and your mercy, not for ourselves, for we know it, but your love and mercy for people who have yet to hear and to accept the good news that you have sent Jesus to be their Savior, and that you love them unconditionally, just as they are, and in fact love them so much that you will not leave them where they are, but help them to transform into a life of joy and abundance and completeness because you are with them. And we pray for the world so racked by violence, where threats and rumors of war are constant, and where we wonder at times where it all will go and end. We trust you, O God, and we pray for our leaders. We pray for those this day who woke up to the sound of bombs and the threat of yet more violence, and we give you thanks that our world, we awoke up to alarm clocks and rolled over, some of us sleepily, and some of us thought, oh, it can't be time to wake up. But oh, what a gift that is, the gift of peace. And so, Lord, in this time of peace and out of the strength of that security, we do pray that you would be loose in the world, bringing peace and security to all your children. All of this we lift up in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we continue our worship, let us give of our tithes and offerings, trusting in the God who has provided for us to provide what we need for the ministry of this congregation. Let us pray. Oh God, we are truly grateful for all that you have given us. And know that what we place in these plates this morning is yours, but also represents an offering of ourselves, our time, our talents, our life, our loves, our loyalty, for the sake of your kingdom. Receive what we give. Multiply it. Give us wisdom about how to distribute it. And help us to believe that there will be plenty and even some left over by the power of Jesus Christ at work among us. We pray. Amen.
Please remain standing and join in the hymn of meditation, We Would See Jesus, verses 1, 2, and 5, on page 256 in your hymnal.
Hear now these words from Matthew's gospel that remind us of the old, old story of what we call Epiphany. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote." And they quoted, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them that the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love that show, Building Off the Grid. On Saturday mornings, if I can manage it, I will watch it episode after episode after episode. I'm amazed by these people who want to leave civilization as we know it and go out into the wilderness and carve out a spot to live in usually a very small amount of space and capture their own water and hunt their own food and live completely off the grid. I really don't know why. But I guess it appeals to some innate pioneer gene deeply hidden by all of this. These signs of comfort and concession over time. But there is still in me a teenager who heard a voice and imagined herself as a pastor standing before a congregation, though I had never heard or seen such a thing in my life. And there is still in me an 8-year-old riding my bike to a secret place I had discovered in the backyard of an old abandoned house. A wading pool, now hidden by forsythia and lilacs. It was a place I would go to be still and listen to the quiet and the breeze. My dad used to say, "You're a dreamer." And I suppose I still am, or want to be, or need to be, now more than ever. That may be why the Magi catch my attention every year. There are other texts we could have read this morning and other sermons that could have been preached. But every year I pore over their story and wonder about these scholars who studied the stars and watched for patterns. They were known as wise ones, but they weren't necessarily trusted by those around them. You see, they were often dismissed as soothsayers and frauds. And to be fair, some of them were willing to trade their wisdom for a dime or two as royal courtesans or entertainers. But evidently not these wise ones that Matthew speaks of. These were genuine in their quest to discover what this strange bright star might mean. They left home, not knowing where the star would lead them or the path they would have to take or how long their journey would be. All they had was their star and a bit of faith in themselves that they could follow that star, and much faith in the star, which to them meant that something new was on the horizon. Something better, something wonderful was being revealed to them. That's what it's like with Epiphanies. The moment you say, ah! Or when the light bulb goes off in your head, or when you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt. For you see, an epiphany is a revelation. It's when something that has been hidden, just swimming ever so softly under the surface, is made known. And the murky becomes clear. When the obvious that you have been missing slaps you upside the head and you cry out, not from pain, but with joy. That is an epiphany. And these wise ones lead us every year to want such epiphanies in our lives as they make their way through Jerusalem and on to Bethlehem with their gifts strapped to their camels and their hearts wide open to greet a new king. Now, I like to imagine myself with them. If not one of the wise ones, than at least one of their entourage that accompanied them. I would follow a star. I can imagine something new. I look forward to a world turned upside down and made right. But oh, Jerusalem, that place that represents comfort and privilege and power and control. I have to admit that I don't know that I would really give it up all that I know for the sake of a star. While I like to picture myself wandering with the wise ones, where I really often find myself is in the court with King Herod, wringing my hands, fearful of what is on the horizon, not really wanting things to change, even though I know they must. There in Jerusalem, you and I cling to what we know, grasp at the power we desire to hold on to, stuck. stuck in the truths that we think we know and unwilling to let go and follow anything new. King Herod, that one who is known as being so cruel that he had daily executions committed during his reign. And his wife and three of his sons fell to the sword because he was threatened by them. So here on this Epiphany, I find myself somewhere in the middle, held back by Jerusalem, but straining toward Bethlehem, even as so much unfolds around us and among us. If you've been listening to the news at all this week, you realize that the United Methodist Church has been in the news. Recently, a group of bishops and representatives from various coalitions in the church revealed that they have been meeting and have put together a document that they call the protocol that tells us how we might amicably divide the United Methodist Church. Now, let me explain to you that this is just one more plan among many that will be considered at General Conference in May. The difference between this plan and the others, though, is the wide reach of those who created it and the leadership of those who were on that team. We don't know what it means. But for some of us, it is a time of grief and anxiety. We're threatened by the change that it may come to the church or is coming to the church. At the same time that we're leaning into the new, in trust that perhaps God is leading us to something different. United Methodists have always been about a social witness of justice alongside a personal holiness and piety. We are not in an easy place. But even this morning, we can find ourselves following a star, or sitting in our worry and anxiety. Let me say that we will begin having conversations within the congregation over the next couple of months about what's coming at General Conference, about the choices that are before us. But in the meantime, if you have questions, if you ever have concerns, please do come and talk with me or with Brother Nick. We would relish and appreciate that. But it's not just at the general church level that we find ourselves somewhat in this place of unknowing. We also find it as a community of faith here at Asbury. In our recent pledge drive, we received pledges of good pledges, but they were $100,000 short of the budget that had been proposed. Now, I want you to know that I am not anxious about that. I'm not worried about it. I have not lain awake one night and rent my hands over it. What I am concerned about and what I am praying about is what mission and ministry we need to be doing so that we budget for the right things. It's not just about our comfort. It's not just about the way things have always been or the way things we want them to be. What it is about a calling from God. And the reality of who we are in the face of that calling and what may need to be left behind so that we can move into the future. That's where the rub is. When you actually have to pack up and hit the road, you can't always take everything with you. But my friends, God is calling us on a journey, and I am sure of that. And every indicator is that this church is alive and vital, and we are growing. So hear me well. I'm not afraid of that journey. I do want us all to take it together. And on this Epiphany Sunday, I look out into this congregation and know that for most of us, it's not about the general church or even the local church. It is in our own homes and our own families and our own lives. Where the hope of the star is real and the challenges of everyday life are real as well. In this past year, Michael and I have looked at each other more than once as we've struggled with our daughter and said, "This is not our life." And yet the reality is that it is. It is our life. The labyrinth of drugs and addiction and court systems and cases. And then two bright stars. And the opportunity to make a difference and to heal and to influence the future all over again. Now that's what we have in our home. Some of you it's less dramatic, and for some of you it's more. But I know this, if I stay stuck in what I think ought to be and am not open to where God is leading, then I am lost. The Magi, these wise ones, always fascinate me. Who were they? What did they have to do to prepare? When did they decide that the star was worth the risk and the journey and the hardship was worth the gain? And how did they keep their ears open and their eyes set? And their minds awake, so that even when they had found what they were searching for, they still heard the voice of God and went home another way. And that may be the most important part of the text this morning. That encounter with that Christ child that led them, that changed them, that transformed them so that not only did they take a different route, they were completely different on the way home. I don't know about you, friends, but I pray for epiphanies to happen among us, in us, and through us in this year of 2020, where we are called to clear vision. I invite you to prayer. I invite you to double down on your Bible study and your reading. I invite you to fast. And then when you see it, when the truth comes and you say, ah, then I pray you have the courage to obey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we prepare for receiving Holy Communion this morning, I want to share with you a poem by Jan Richardson about the Magi, and invite you to take this with you to the table. It's entitled, Where the Map Begins. This is not any map, you know. Forget longitude, forget latitude. Do not think of distances or of plotting. You can't find the most direct route. Astrolabe, sextant, compass, these will not help you here. This is the map that begins with a star. This is the chart that starts with fire, with blazing, with an ancient light that has outlasted all generations and empires, cultures, and wars. Look starward once, then look away. Close your eyes and see how the map begins to blossom behind your lids, how it constellates its lines stretching out from where you stand. You cannot see it all, cannot divine the way. It will turn and spiral. You cannot perceive how the road you walk will lead you finally inside through the labyrinth of your own heart and belly and lungs. But step out, and you will know what the wise who traveled this path before you knew. The treasure in this map is buried not with journey's end, but at its beginning. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise men to where the Christ was born. And in your signs and witnesses in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to this light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And so we remember that on the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And at that same table, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks. And he gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from it, do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts gathered here, that we might be for the body of Christ those who have been redeemed by his blood, and that we might go out into the world offering redemption to others. Through Christ, in Christ, and with Christ, all glory, honor, and power are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. As we receive Holy Communion today, all are welcome at the table. This is bread for our journey. This is that which will quench our thirst. We'll serve by inviting those who will be assisting to come forward first and the choir. And then you will come at the invitation and direction of the ushers. Please feel free to make the chancel rail a place of prayer for you as you seek to know how to follow Christ more fully in this new year. The table's prepared. Let us join the feast. Let us pray together, as printed in our bulletin. Almighty God, you have gathered your people into one communion and fellowship that is unbound by time or space. We praise you for the feast we have shared with our brothers and sisters at your table of grace. May we be filled with desire to love you more deeply, so that we follow you without counting the costs and experience your abundant joy like those who have gone before us and pray with us even now. Alleluia. Amen. This congregation of the United Methodist Church and this family of believers is always open to receive a new brother or sister in Christ. Jesus is always beckoning and calling you into relationship with Him. And my friends, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So this morning, if the light has broken loose in your life and you've said, aha, or if you've heard the call of Jesus on your heart, or you desire to make this your faith home, Nick and I would be happy to greet you and welcome you here at the altar and pray with you and help you to become part of this fellowship. So let us stand together and sing hymn number 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Now this benediction, let us go forth to love God and serve in His name. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, go with you, dwell in your hearts, and give you faith. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.